God bless you. Glory be to God. I want to get right into this morning's podcast teaching. I love you. Thank God for you. I want to talk about help. Everybody needs help. Who out there, I don't know if we had a call in a massive audience, and if I ask this question, every phone line should light up. Who needs help? I don't know about you. I need help every single day of my life. Even having a great day, there's still something in that day that you're going to need help with. And I was thinking about this last night. I always, ponder and kind of think the night before these podcasts or when I preach or teach, Lord, what do you want me to say? How can I help somebody? But I was thinking about my years as a Christian, being born again early in the, in the mid 70s to late 70s, because I didn't want to go to hell. Who wants to go to hell? I mean, no one in their right mind would say yes to hell. So when I was asked or presented the question, when you die, do you want to go to heaven or hell? Of course I want to go to heaven, especially as a kid. But even as an adult, I still want to go to heaven. Nothing about me wants to go to hell. Well, I started trying to live as a young kid. It's kind of easier. But you get into your mid-teens and it becomes harder. You're presented with more problems, more worldly options, options to sin and different things. And I'd really never liked sin, but I couldn't get free from sin. I needed help, and I didn't know where to find it. And that's what we're going to talk. That's what we're going to talk about today. Where do I get help from? How do I quit drinking? Is there someone that'll help me? Is there a person? Can God give me help to overcome drugs, overcome addictions, overcome lying, overcome pornography, overcome? And the answer is yes. You have the greatest helper on the planet, and God's given him to you. His name is the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's look at this. In John chapter 14, Jesus was talking to the disciples, telling them or preparing them for his departure. He said, there's going to come a day. I'm going to leave. He goes in and they begin to ask questions to Jesus. I kind of paraphrase to get to this one scripture. They said, Jesus, are we going to see the Father? And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We know Jesus is the Word of God. The person of God made flesh dwelt among us. We know that. But then he said, no. He said, he begins to talk about the one that's going to come after me. And in the 14th chapter of John, verse 18, he said, I will not leave you helpless. Now, in the King James, it uses a word comfortless. But that word comfort means help, helper. So Jesus said to them, I will not leave you without help. He said, I'll come to you again in a little while, but then the world's not going to see me anymore at all. Why? He was going to leave just like the Bible tells us. But then drop down to 26, he says, but the helper or the comforter, but the helper, we can translate it into that and it works correctly, doesn't lose anything, which is the Holy Ghost. You're going to receive a helper if you want one. It's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the person of God that gives power and ability to every believer. The helper, the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things or help you concerning all things. He not only will help you, but he'll possess heaven's ability to impart to you help concerning every matter you face. Everything we face. We first see the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of Genesis 1. When the Bible's, let's just look at it. You got your Bible. If not, I'll turn my Bible there and you can listen to me. Genesis 1:2, it says, and the earth was without form and void. It's very important that you catch that. The earth was without form and void. Why is that important? Because now it tells us and it shows us what help God's going to use or where God's going to get help from. You say God needs help? When God deals with things on the earth, the way God set up his kingdom or kingdom ability is you'll need the Holy Spirit to access or to gain power and or heavenly ability. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not have heavenly help, supernatural power and ability. You'll have the Word of God. You'll have direction. You'll have insight. You'll have understanding, but you won't have that power. You won't have that explosive dunamis, like it tells us in the book of Acts, Acts 1:8. That won't be available unto you unless the Holy Spirit is present. So here it says, and the earth was without form and void, Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Let me bring that into a modern understanding. Not heard it, not pervert it, but let me just bring it to where you'll understand it in a modern day English or translation. The Holy Spirit, the helper, was waiting for God's word to help. The Holy Spirit was waiting for information, for an assignment to accomplish here on this earth. And there was a blank canvas. Now we can see in Hebrews 11:3 that there was a blank canvas, and God began to speak, and he said the power or the idea he conveyed is you can begin to frame your world with words. So let's reflect back to the beginning. There was a blank canvas, and God with words begin to build, begin to create. And the Holy Spirit, as God said, the Holy Spirit brought that saying, brought that word into the realm of power. The helper gave help to God to bring heavenly things to earth. So how does that translate for me? I know when I talk and I say, you know, help, supernatural ability, you know, all these different things, it's catchy in a sense, and there's power words, but how does that translate? How does that help you today? Well, let me tell you. Now, if you get a helper, this comforter, we're not building universes anymore. Now, you still have creative and recreative power and ability available unto you through him, but it's not to build the world. The world's already created. God created it. We understand that. But I'm talking about in your day-to-day life, what is it that you can't get free from? What is it that you can't get beyond? What is it that just nags at you, that just kind of sticks around, and you just feel like you do life day in and day out, day in and day out, and this one thing, two things, 10 things, you just need help and you can't get free from? That's what I'm talking about. That's where the Holy Spirit plays an extremely important part in your life. Let's go back to my life as a young boy, born again, heaven bound, because I believed in Jesus Christ. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I confessed him with my mouth, believed in my heart. However, I was still powerless or without help. Now, I know I had a heaven of available unto me, but I didn't know how to access it. So let's look at the Holy Spirit now that God gave us to access heaven. Now, I got to talk about something that some of you might be ignorant concerning. But yes, the Holy Spirit's on the scene when the Word is on the scene to confirm the Word with signs following. That's Mark 6:16, rather. But I'm not talking about confirming the Word. I'm talking about a personal helper given to one side. That's what this means. In John 14, then again in John 16, the Bible says, when the Comforter, actually John 15, but when the Comforter in 26 is come, who I will send unto you, the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify or bring the understanding of who I am to you. That's what one of the Comforter's jobs. And then we can see in 16, once again, that when the Comforter comes, that he'll speak or lead you into all truths. He'll help you get beyond this world and leave you into truths. Now, if I'm going to have a personal, everyday helper, I've got to receive him. I've got to bring him into my life. The term that we hear we use is, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? A lot of people put extreme emphasis on the baptism of water, in which we should. The baptism of water is a cleansing agent. The baptism of water was set by God to be a remover of sin, or a washer, a cleanser of sin, to separate you from your old life and your old life habits. Now, the reason we don't see that anymore, Dylan's in here with me this morning, I'll preach to him. Dylan, the reason we don't see that anymore is because we don't have an understanding, or we don't put faith in that operation. But the operation of baptism in water is the operation or a partial operation of salvation. It's a cleansing, it's a washing, it's a separating of your flesh, it's a renewal of your flesh, it's a new birth in water. The washing agency, the agent of water, When we get baptized in water, we ought to go in that tank with the idea or whatever kind of reservoir that's holding the water. We ought to go in there and think, I'm going to be washed of every past thing. I'm going to be washed of. I'm going to come out clean. I'm going to come out new. All right. That's still not empowered. You don't come out, empowered. You don't come out filled with the Holy Ghost. You come out washed and cleansed by the Word of God. You come out born again or renewed by the Word of God. That's what the water does. That's repentance. In water is repentance. Now, there's a power in repentance, but that's not the power that's spoken of in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The power that's spoken of is this power when the helper of heaven comes and he now takes on a homage, or he begins to live on the inside of you as an every moment helper, this dynamic, explosive, unstoppable by any earth thing, the fullness of heaven in the spirit realm, having divine access to your spirit 24/7, 365. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, two different baptisms. So when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, what does this mean? Well, you ask first, because everything we receive from God, we receive in faith. So you'd say, God, I read, I've seen the scriptures throughout the New Testament. Jesus promised. You would read John. First, I would go, if I were you, and I would read Matthew 3, the account of Jesus being baptized in water, then being filled with the Holy Ghost. Then I would go read John chapter 14. I would read John 15 and John 16. Then I would read Acts chapter 1, and I'd especially focus on Acts chapter 1, 8, and then Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. And it talks about you'll be baptized with power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. The word baptized means immersed. So you're going to be immersed in water. That's the cleansing agent of heaven. That's redemption. But then a secondary thing, part of that, or separate from that, you're going to be baptized or immersed in the Spirit in such a way that you're going to become a person of power, authority, ability, heaven's help at your fingertips or there at your reach. Then we see in Acts 2, 1 through 4, and it's very simple. This is cutting edge. You can't say this is old-fashioned, this is old religion, this is old school. You can't say that. This is still so cutting edge that the 2024 generation still can't wrap their mind around it lest they get heaven's help. That's how cutting edge it is. Now, the whole world's looking for help. That's why the whole world turns to drugs, they turn to palm readers, they turn to tattoos, they turn to piercings, they turn to cutting, they turn to very weird, odd things, looking for miraculous help or looking for the supernatural help. So don't say this is old. This is as new as it was the day it happened on the day of Pentecost as it is today. This is just as cutting edge, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So Acts 2, 1 through 4, Jesus promised. Now, I don't have time to get into this, Dylan, but I'm starting to learn and starting to see in the scripture, you learn more and more each day, that the disciples were baptized in the Holy Ghost twice, some of the disciples three times. Dylan's looking, thinking, all right, remember Jesus meets with them in John 20. John 20, he meets with them, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, chapter 8, he says, Holy Spirit, come on. Acts 2, 1, 4, secondary, Jesus had already been glorified, but the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out in John 20. Jesus breathes on them, says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, what does that mean? Receive the person of the Holy Ghost. What we'll see here in Acts 2, 1 through 4, what's the evidence? Not only the initial evidence or the continued evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the answer is a heavenly, heaven's language. You get heaven's language. You get to pray a tailored-made heaven language. You get that from the Holy Ghost. So we see there, and then we see a third time where Peter, at least, is in a meeting where he receives the Holy Ghost. But let's just look at these two terms, these two different times. Why are you saying that, preacher? Well, it's like this. Do you fill your car up one time with gas? Or do you fill it up continually? I think, and I don't have time to get into this today, I think there's this thought idea that I get filled with the Holy Ghost and I get this partial language, and then I ride on the coattails of this partial language for the rest of my life. No, the things of God are infinite, and you can never accomplish or receive the fullness of them. That being said, this prayer language should be added to the Holy Spirit prayer language in your life. It should be continual. It should be added to daily. There should be new words coming out of your mouth that you've never heard of. It's expansive. Come on, are you here? You should be expanding in that prayer language daily. Therefore, you need to be filled and refilled and filled and refilled over and over again. So next time you're in a church service, hey, does anybody want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Maybe you say, I've been filled, but I want to be refilled. Be like being charged. I want to be recharged. The Bible says praying in the Holy Ghost charges you up. Well, how many times you need to be charged up? Over and over and over again. Back to the help. I know I've given you a lot, especially you note takers. Acts 2, 1 through 4, cutting edge. They're one place, one accord. Suddenly, the promise that Jesus promised, or the prophecy that he prophesied, comes to pass. And here now comes the Holy Spirit in full measure to all that will receive him in society. Now, how do we know that there was something different? How do we know it wasn't just the Word? Because a lot of people think when you receive Jesus, you receive the Word, you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive what? You receive everything. Something happens that's never happened before except to Jesus and these disciples he breathed on. The Holy Spirit was poured out. The time had come. Joel, the prophet, prophesied in the old covenant under the unction of God. He had insight that a day would come that the Holy Spirit would not just be used individually for individual miracles tasks, but he would be poured out once and for all over or upon all flesh. So God's an equal opportunist now. He's given us the Holy Spirit to whomever wants him. So the Bible once again says, here they're one place, one accord. The first thing they hear, perceive, or understand is a sound that they've not heard before ever on the earth. Now, they're limited, Dylan. They can only say so much, because how do you describe an energy? How do you describe a power and ability that you've never heard when you have a limited vocabulary? Like our modern day terminology, our modern day dictionaries is so expanded, you know, concerning what they had. So we can say a bomb like Hiroshima. We can say a nuclear blast, an atomic blast. We could say, you know, dynamite, a case of dynamite. Today, if we were to describe it today, we could say, you know, a number 5 hurricane wind. But back then, all they had was the sound of a rushing, mighty wind. To them, they were describing something violent, but they were limited in their language vocabulary to describe that violent entry of the Holy Spirit. Not violent in a bad way, not like you come to kill, but violent in a disturbance that was not known to humanity up until then. So number one, we have this a sound of this terrible, powerful, a something not of this world wind that enters into the room. Then it settles into the room and it begins to divide itself. Now pay attention here. The Holy Spirit begins to divide himself 120 times and sits on each person's head. And the Bible said each person saw on top of the other person's head a fire, like a tongue of fire sat on their head. And every time the fire was on someone's head, they begin to speak in this weird, now it's not weird, but I'm just going to explain, at the time it was so new, so cutting edge as it is today, it still baffles people. people in 2024. Are you kidding me? There is so much weird, strange, absurd, crazy, you know, things in society. And people get upset about a supernatural phenomena that comes from heaven that was written to us, given to us by God in his Bible and the Word, of someone praying in a prayer language that you didn't learn. Like, that's so phenomenal. We can't, you know, guys are trying to transform into girls. Girls are trying to get in operations to become guys. And we're worried about people praying in a heavenly tongue. Come on, are you kidding me? People got full body tats. People are trying to replace their brains. You know, we're getting heart transplants, and we're worried about how does someone pray in this language? Come on, are you here? So the Bible says that 120 appear to them a cloven tongue as a fire. So a person's sitting there like this, and they're looking, and all of a sudden here comes the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is not a cloven tongue. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. He's not a wind. But these are all things that God used so that people could perceive or see and understand the scripture. He was trying to, you know, give them insight or something to see or to imagine or to, you know, perceive. So as that cloven tongue of fire sat on them, that was a sign that the Holy Spirit was filling that person. So every time they saw that, that person began to pray in tongues. Now, the Bible says the whole room got filled and the whole room prayed in tongues. It didn't say one or two people got left out. It didn't say five. They all got it, but only five prayed. And those 120, in one place, one accord. This wind comes in the room. It's the Holy Spirit. Cloven tongues of fire sit on each of them. They begin to pray in tongues. And then the Bible says they begin to get so happy or so beyond human reality. And there's people looking in the window. So now there's a commotion. You think about this, Dylan. I don't know if I've ever said this. The people weren't there. I mean, you're talking about a couple weeks now. So the people that were making fun of them, they had already left. So how were they brought back on the scene? The same wind they're describing the city heard. It was that violent of a wind, because now we have people looking in. So they're getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and you got scribes, Pharisees, church folk. Come on, are you religious people getting mad that people are receiving what God said you should receive? We got crowds now developing around this upper room, and they're all looking in the upper room, and they begin to mock the things of God. Still happening today. We pray in tongues on a Sunday service, and we'll have some of you religious folk. All of a sudden, you know, you're sinners, you're drunk on Friday night, you're drunk on Saturday, you get drunk after church on Sunday, you cuss like a sailor all week long, but you become a Bible scholar when we pray in tongues in the church service on Sunday and begin to misuse the scripture and tell us why we can't do it. Thank you, Almighty One. Let's get back to this now. What were they attracted to? They were attracted to this wind, but it wasn't the wind. That's what maybe brought them there initially, but now they're seeing the effect of the Holy Spirit. Now they're seeing something. They're hearing something they've never heard before. They're seeing something they've never seen before, and it challenges everything on the inside of them, just like it challenges your little flesh. But the Bible says, now Peter... You think about this. Let me put these threes together. Peter denied Jesus three times. The Bible said Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost three times. Here we see Peter stands up and he begins to rebuke. Come on, are you here? He begins to rebuke the crowds, the same crowds that he denied Jesus three times. Now he's rebuking them. I don't know if it's three times. I have to study that. But Peter stands up and he says, these people are not drunk like you're saying they are, but this is that. This is the power that Joel, and it's funny that he mentions this, because these are quote-unquote church people. Like when you church people come in and you know, misquote the word and you try to use 2 Corinthians in error and you don't know what you're doing, but then we make, you know, a reference of something and you like you're dumbfounded because you don't know the Bible, you just know enough to start trouble. That's the same thing Peter did. He said, this is what Prophet Joel, what are y'all mad about? Your prophet, because you guys, they like the law. He said, your prophet, the prophet Joel, prophesied this and you're mad at him. You believe the law, now this is what's happening and you're mad. You're not even going to receive it. My point is, this supernatural phenomenon, the Holy Ghost comes into your life, comes on the scene to give you heaven's help daily to overcome every obstacle, every ungodly obstacle you ever face. God's given you the Holy Spirit for a helper. Now, I'm going to get back into this. Dylan, I want to do at least three more of these on the Holy Spirit, the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get back into this, and I'm going to just dissect this for you, impart this into you. The power of the Holy Spirit, the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to get into in this same series of the, on this podcast, tongues. What is tongues? What is praying in tongues? Why are people so uptight about it? How does it help me? What does it do for me? And we'll answer all these things. But I want to get to the point where this is kind of where I started in the beginning. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I at that time, after being a Christian for years, I'd say a decade, I could not get free from worldly vices until the Holy Ghost, until I received the Holy Ghost, got baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. I then possessed helper power to say no to sin. You say, so you don't sin anymore? Not like I used to. No, not at all. I'm not perfect. The Bible says you don't get perfect by the Holy Ghost. You just get help to overcome sin by the Holy Ghost. You get help to be led by truth with the Holy Ghost. So I'm in a whole different place today than I was before the Holy Spirit entered into my life. Let him help you today as well. Call on the helper. Call on God. Say, give me this help from heaven, the help of the Holy Ghost. Hey, we're out of time. Sure love you. Hope I'm helping you. Until next week, get help from the Holy Spirit.